Well, good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Let's take our Bibles, and if you can turn with me over to Psalms. We're going to go to the book of Psalms today, and we're at Psalm 103. A little break from Romans, but just a little break. We'll be back in Romans again next week. I just couldn't find any way to make Romans 7 or 13 fit Mother's Day. So, Psalm 103, we're going to look at verses 1 through 14 this morning. You won't see the word mother in here, but stay with me. Let's read God's Word. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He Himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. Let's all be seated, and then we're going to talk to God. Lord Jesus, thank You that You are mindful that we are dust. Not a very complimentary thought, except for when we realize that from the dust You made man. And so we recognize we are a part of Your creation, but a special part. The part that involved Your very hands. And then again, Your very hands reaching into the man to form the woman. And then by Your very hands, through the way You've created us, this world has been peopled. Now, Lord, we know that You've given us a great calling to walk with You and to encourage others to do the same. I'd ask You, Father, to anoint this time so that Your people would be encouraged, so that the mothers would be encouraged, but that so all of us would be encouraged. And we pray this in the great name of Jesus. Amen. Well, there's a lot of stressful jobs out there. I did a little study the other day on the very reliable, extremely trustworthy Internet. Did a little study on the Internet. A lot of good information. And I decided I'd look up the most stressful jobs that there are on record. And so they listed the top 30 stressful jobs on the trusty old Internet. So here they are. Number one in the list of stressful jobs is the air traffic controller, which... that makes sense. The idea of getting everybody safely home every night, a lot of pressure with that. And second on the list are police officers. Let's face it, it's stressful to deal with unreasonable people all day long. Third on the list, teachers, those long-suffering souls who try to get highly distracted people to focus and enjoy actually learning, right? Number four on the list is the coal miner. They go where nobody else would want to go, and it's dirty. Next in the list, number five, firefighter, always putting out fires, always dealing with fires. That takes its toll. Sixth most stressful job is that of a prison guard. You know, keeping an eye on people who've done wrong, knowing that given the chance, rebellion will well up and they'll do wrong again. That's number six. Seventh most stressful job, Marine. You know, those are the ones who go where they're the first on the scene to put an end to the battle. That's the Marine. Stressful. I'm going to skip down to number 15. We've got the 9/11 operator. That's that person who has to deal with hysterical people, try to get them to stop blubbering and explain what's going on so they can help them. Then skipping down to number 19 in the list, the undercover spy. The undercover spy. See, we've got a couple of them in our church. Just be advised. And the undercover spy, they spend their time trying to find out things that people don't want them to find out. They snoop around and do what they can to learn what there is to learn. Then if we skip down the list a little bit, number 26 on the list of the most stressful jobs is the elephant handler, which they're way over their heads and you could get stepped on, so that's a stressful job. But number 30 on the list, and this one I was shocked to hear, number 30 on the list is the mother, the job of being a mom. That's the considered number 30 on the list. Now, I was thinking about that. Go figure. Of all the careers that I've just listed, they could all fit under that larger job description of mother, couldn't they? I mean, the air traffic controller, the mother, she's not going to rest well until everybody's safe and at home and in bed, just like the air traffic controller. That's her job. And the mother, she's a cop. She has to deal with these irrational little people at times, right? And like a teacher, mom has got to try to get these young minds to sit still long enough to absorb the profound truths of life. And of course, like a firefighter, she's always putting out little fires between her offspring. That's just the way it works. And like a prison guard, mom keeps an eye on everybody because rebellion's waiting to happen, and she's got to kind of deal with that. Mom's work is a bit like a Marine because she's first on the scene with the violence, and she's got to peel these people apart and fix things. Like the 9/11 operator, she's got to wait till the blubbering stops so she can figure out what really happened and what might be broken or not. Like an undercover spy, she has to perk her ears to try to learn what the kids would never tell her, but they might talk about between themselves. Now, I'm not exactly sure how mom's like an elephant handler, but it just seemed like I should just stick that in there. But let's face it. The job of mother is not 30th on the list. It's not even number 3 on the list. It's the number 1 job. Number 1 in that it encompasses so much of what all the other jobs are. It can be number 1 in stressfulness because it's a huge job. And it's a job that have rewards that don't always seem obvious at the very moment. See, motherhood is a heavy responsibility. You influence your childhood's future in profound ways. I found a little quotation from Pablo Picasso, that artist that did those bizarre paintings with body parts everywhere but where they belong. You know who that guy is. Well, Picasso, he said, "My mother said to me, if you become a soldier, you'll be a general. In fact, if you become a monk, you'll become the Pope." She was pretty high on him. And he said, "Instead of doing that, I became a painter and I wound up being Picasso." So you see how his mother influenced him. He became that world-famous artist. And who was greater, Thomas Edison or his mother, right? You know the story. Thomas Edison's teacher sent him home with a note and said, "He's dumb. He can't learn anything. Just forget it. Give up." Of course, we know differently. And Thomas Edison's mother sent a note back that said, "He's not dumb. You don't understand him. I'm going to teach him myself." She did. And, of course, we're sitting in a lighted room listening to music and all kinds of things thanks to Thomas Edison. See, mothers have the kind of job that not only bears the worries of the air traffic controller, but her demands, her job demands of her, the hands-on connection of the firefighter, the police officer, volatile situations sometimes. Of course, it's not always that way, I realize. You know, there are those good moments, hopefully more of those than not, but there can be those other moments. The sobering reality that I just talked about is meant to really be an encouragement for you to look to God in your parenting. And I want to kind of seize on that expression, look to God. That's sort of a vague thing. Well, what's it mean to look to God? And that's a really relevant question, especially for mothers, in light of everything I just laid on you just now. What does it mean for mothers to look to God? And here's what the psalmist says it means. It's in verse 2. "Bless the Lord and forget none of His benefits." It's obvious that blessing the Lord and remembering His benefits, it's obvious that's a way of looking to God. But how does that help us in life? In particular, how does this practice of blessing the Lord and remembering His benefits, how does that help mothers? Well, let's consider that the cause of stress, believe it or not, the cause of stress, if you have any, is not because of your kids, no matter what their age. They're really not the cause, believe it or not. Instead, stress is often caused when we focus on the immediate situation and we lose sight of the big picture. See, that's where the stress comes in. The big picture is, what is God doing in all this? Not, this is out of control, but what's God doing? That's the big picture. And, of course, I know moms are not the only ones who can lose sight of the big picture, but it can be a habit for moms all the same. After all, as moms, you want to make things flow as smoothly as possible at home, right? And when life gets in the way, your perfect dream for your family isn't happening, that can bring a lot of stress. It just can. And plus, when you look at your own life and say, but I have failed so much, and maybe my failings have made things worse, you know, that could really add to your stress. In the midst of all the mixed blessings of motherhood, rather than focus on all those stress-causing things, I want to encourage you. My prayer this morning is that God's Word will calm your worries and sharpen your focus on the God who cares more about your children than you do, even. You see, a heart focused on God will say with the psalmist, bless the Lord, and forget none of His benefits. And we've got a lot of reason to bless the Lord as we look at the way He is towards us. For example, the Lord supplies what we most need. That's the first thing I want to hit on. The Lord supplies what we most need. In this sea of stress-causing things, I want to take a moment to put all those stress causers aside. And I want us to consider how the Lord has blessed you. How? Consider how the Lord has blessed you. There was a teacher years ago, gave her second grade class a little study in magnets. She was teaching them all about magnets and how they do things. And the next day she thought, well, I'm going to slip that one in on a test. She gave them a little written test, little second graders. And she had the question on the test. It was, my full name has six letters. The first one is M. I pick up things. What am I? Well, she got back the tests, and about half of them said, Mother! You know, you might feel like that at times, too, always picking up things. But remember what God has given you. Let's review that list. Look at verse 2 again. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget none of His benefits. Here's the first one. Who pardons all of your iniquities. Lock that one in. Bible tells us we were born with a problem. Back in Isaiah, the Bible says that your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not even hear. That's what the Bible says. Isaiah chapter 59. And yet the verse before that tells us that the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is His ear so dull that it cannot hear. And so the Bible tells us in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So based on that forgiveness, we come back to Psalm 103. And it tells us another one of God's benefits. Not only does He pardon all of your iniquities, but He heals all your diseases. Now we've got to camp on that one a little bit because in this very room there are diseases and loved ones who have diseases and so on. So that's a little harder to understand because they're not getting cured. After all, we still see it. We still experience it. And yet, the fact is, in the end, everybody who trusts Jesus is going to experience complete healing of everything that ails him. Even death is going to lose its grip in the end because of the power of Jesus. In fact, that's a third benefit of the psalmist highlights. As forgiven people, we can count on this healing, sometimes now, definitely in the end. And so we remember that God, verse 4, redeems your life from the pit. Now, sometimes I know life can be kind of rough. Sometimes the very best parents you watch with broken hearts as your children maybe have been making bad decisions and you're just, you feel like just in the pits emotionally. But the God who forgives and heals also redeems. He doesn't just forgive and heal, and good luck to you. He also redeems, buys back the situation. You see, you might feel that you've made too many mistakes, and maybe that's why the kids aren't the way they're supposed to be. You might look at yourself and say, oh, no wonder. Now, granted, your decisions may not have always been the best. I don't know, but you can decide on that one. Maybe they haven't been the best, but you know your Redeemer is stronger than your worst decisions. Did you know that? Your Redeemer, the one who buys it back, who brings it back and fixes it, He's stronger than the worst things you might have imposed on your family. Look to the Redeemer rather than grieving over any failures that you think you've had. You see, God says that even for those who consider themselves to be the worst failure, He doesn't leave you there when you look to Jesus. Instead, look at verse 4, middle of the verse. He doesn't just leave you there. He crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. You know, a crown is a reward. It's a good thing, obviously. Loving kindness, that's another way of saying God keeps His promises. That's generally what that word speaks of, is God is a promise-keeping, covenant-keeping God. So loving kindness implies God made a promise, He's going to keep it. His promises change everything, even our shortcomings. In fact, I did a little study on that word compassion, which is what He crowns us with as well. That word compassion, interesting word. It also, in its root, has the word womb, if you know Hebrew, which I don't really know it too well, but I know how to use the tools. Within that word compassion is the word womb. The word womb, and here's the significance. The womb is the place where everything began for every one of us. God's compassion speaks of the idea of, in essence, getting a new beginning, kind of like a baby gets its first beginning in the womb. Nicodemus said, can a man be born again? Can a man enter the womb again? Yeah, because of God's compassion. It's a fresh start. You see, moms, the Lord has blessed you richly. Now, I know, especially for you moms with littler ones, it can be hard to see that under that pile of dirty dishes and toys laying around and maybe that fragrant aroma that tells you something needs to be changed. You know, things like that. But that'll all be taken care of soon enough. You know, Abby and I, over the years, we've tried to remind ourselves, and she's had to remind me more because I'm more easily bugged, I'm afraid, more selfish, I think. We've tried to remind ourselves that the days of a perfectly clean house with all the lights off like they're supposed to be, except for the room we're in, guys, you know what I'm talking about. Those days will come soon enough. But for right now, enjoy those kids. Enjoy the smudges. Enjoy the fact that things are thrown around. Yeah, work towards clean, but you know, clean enough to be healthy, dirty enough to be happy. That's a pretty good slogan. When our focus is on having everything just so, boy, that drives the stress level up. Since this is Mother's Day, I just want to encourage you, ladies. God is the one, He's the only one, verse 5, who satisfies your years with good things. I have no idea why the internet suggests that motherhood is the 30th most stressful job. And yet with a heart that blesses the Lord and remembers His goodness towards His children, with a heart like that, this job called motherhood really could be a lot less stressful. And yet the reality is, it's hard to keep focus on God, hard to remember His goodness, and therefore easy to get sucked into the stress again. Well, God has an agenda for us when He pours out these blessings on us, when He pours out these blessings on you. As He pours out these blessings, He wants us to consider not only how He has blessed you, but He wants us to consider why the Lord has blessed you, why the Lord has blessed you. And it's only right for us as parents, for you mothers especially, it's only right to try to find some meaning and some purpose in raising your children. And God raised you that way, to find a great deal of your meaning, your purpose in raising the kids. That's the way God wired you. And yet, if we're not careful, God's blessings can become so big in our hearts that we don't really have a lot of room for Him. We're enjoying His purposes, but not Him. As I read the list of God's blessings that we just looked at in verses 3 through 5, each of those phrases describes what God has given us in Jesus. Now we get on to that last phrase. It kind of breaks rank with all the other phrases. It's like God ends His list of the blessings by telling us what these blessings are meant to do for us. You see, God's design in pouring out His rich blessings is really summarized, the last part of verse 5, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Now, I used to watch eagles a lot up in La Crosse, Wisconsin. They'd get out on the Mississippi River as the ice was going out. One thing I thought was interesting about eagles is they don't walk around doing their hunting this way, you know, like some kind of a wolf or something. They don't do that. They don't even just fly around like crows. They soar. It's woven into the nature of an eagle to soar, to glide on those thermals and whatnot. They seem to kind of park in midair. Then all of a sudden, like somebody shot a gun, they go down and there's some food down there they got to get, and away they go. Mothers, God's agenda for you as He pours out these blessings on you that we've been talking about, God's agenda for you is that you would freely, joyfully walk with Him, which is comparable to an eagle soaring. When you're following God's lead, nothing is going to stop you. You're going to see your children as God's mission and God's mission field for you until they're adults. And even once they're adults, you're still mother in their lives. One of my favorite verses describing what it means to have your youth renewed like an eagle is out of Isaiah 40. And I'm sure many here, if not most, have memorized Isaiah 40. Beginning with verse 29, it says that He gives strength to the weary. And to him who lacks strength, He increases power. Sometimes, moms, you're saying, boy, I could use that right now. Here you go. Though youths grow weary and tired, vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll walk and not become tired. They'll run and not become weary. I should say they'll run and not get tired. They'll walk and not become weary. See, God's agenda in giving us all these spiritual blessings comes back to what we talked about in Psalm 103, verses 3 through 5. God's agenda is that we would look to Him for the very best life, for the deepest satisfaction, that we look to Him for the most fulfillment, that we look to Him to be the foundation of everything we do, everything we are. That's what it means for a Christian to soar. And not only does He supply what we need, but the Lord works for our good. He works for our good. Now, on our part, can we trust Him? Can we trust Him to really be working for our good? Can we trust Him for that? I just want to give you a couple of things which, when moms remember these things about God, you're not going to let the stress of motherhood control you. First thing to remember His unlimited love. Lock that one in. See, there are times it might be easy to forget God's unlimited love. None of us have probably been in this situation, hope you never are, but a family living in the streets and going without food or having to eat out of dumpsters or something, they can have an awfully hard time thinking of God's unlimited love. In fact, the group Moses was leading, they experienced something akin to that. They had food, but just one kind of food, manna. They were always on the road, living in tents, temporary, always walking and walking and walking. For 40 years they did this. So they asked God what any family in a similar situation might ask. They said, where's God in all this? Where's His love in all this? Now, for that crowd in the wilderness under Moses' lead, they continually saw God working in very loving ways. They did. He continually loved on them. It's just that things were not to their liking. So they complained. And yet still, God put up with them. He was crafting them into a people who would love Him back. In fact, I tend to wonder if that's not God's strategy with families. I tend to think that maybe God is crafting us as families and through families as individuals, if He's crafting us to be people who individually love Him. In fact, that really seems like what Psalm 103, beginning with verse 6, alludes to. That the Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He's made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the sons of Israel. See, that's what God was doing for them in the wilderness for 40 years, crafting, making known. I think about my own childhood. Growing up, we didn't have any extras in my home. My mother chose to stay at home with the six of us after Dad had died. The oldest was 16, youngest was 2. That was me. So we had Social Security death benefits. That was it. Nothing else. Dad didn't even have life insurance. And yet we always ate 3 square meals a day. It's amazing what my mom could do with hamburger. You know what I'm talking about. In His great love, God provided for us. Very basic, but enough. But enough. Our church loved on us. They gave us a free education at the Lutheran school, K-8, free education. They even gave us free lunch at school. We lived in a comfortable little Cape Cod my mom was able to buy. Had 3 bedrooms, one for mom, one for my sister, and one for the 4 of us boys. I'll tell you, that was a tight ship. But it worked. Did we complain? Well, I never heard my mom complain, ever. But the rest of us, we could do a pretty good job griping. And mom's response to us was pretty much the same all the way along when we complained. Hey, listen, God has provided for you. Let's appreciate it. Now, Israel, they were real big on griping. They liked to do that. They were sick of traveling, fed up with manna. God provided for them in spite of their terrible response to Him. In fact, in verses 8 through 9 of Psalm 103, we remember that the Lord is compassionate and gracious. In spite of all their sin, God is slow to anger. He's abounding in loving kindness. He'll not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. See, God delivered Israel safely to the promised land. But not everybody who left Egypt made it to Israel, right? Only those who believed entered the land. Now, mothers, you want your kids to make it, right? Your heart's desire for them is to see them walking with Jesus and living a good life, right? You can shape them, you can remind them of God's great love, and yet, like God's first children, Adam and Eve, some, perhaps, are not going to believe, even if you were perfect, which I can't think of a mother who wasn't. But nonetheless, some are just not going to believe, no matter how perfect of a job you did. God's unlimited love might be easier to understand, especially in light of that, when we can remember His unconditional love. His unconditional love. Now this one, depending on how things have gone in your life, this can be a tough one to believe. See, we live in a fallen world. We have been conditioned to believe that love has limits on it, right? Satan implied that God was not as loving as He should have been, which is why he prohibited them from eating off the tree. That's what Satan's lie was. Oh, come on, He's holding back. And ever since that time, every generation somehow gets the idea into their head that, hey, I know better than the previous generation about what makes life worthwhile. And it's a real curious pattern that finds mature men and women struggling to gain that acceptance, struggling to maybe be successful at work, that's the way I'll be acceptable, or struggling to maybe own the nicest stuff because then people will think I'm a somebody. Struggling to maybe dig deeper in the Bible and be the all-involved church person because they're thinking that will make me somehow acceptable to God and worthy of His love and worthy of everybody else's love. And as a mother, it's hard to watch when your children make decisions that dishonor God. And so on one level, you recognize Adam's sin is still affecting us today, even affecting your children. But on a deeper level, we recognize that we don't want to just acknowledge the problem. We want to recognize that we need the gospel. If we're going to walk with God ourselves, if we're going to encourage the children, moms, encourage your children, if you're going to encourage them to walk with God, you need the gospel. And if you convey nothing else to your children as a result of this sermon, here's a great truth that you can pass on to them. Right here. Look at verses 10 through 11. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness towards those who fear Him. See, for those who trust Jesus, we deserve a lot worse than we're ever going to get. Now, those who reject Jesus, they're going to get a lot worse than they could ever imagine. And yet, for those who are trusting the Savior, God has made a promise. God's promise is complete forgiveness. God's promise is that you'll have a right relationship with God. Now, our children fail when they do, and when we fail, it's time to point to Jesus again. You see, there's nothing that'll drive a person further away from the Lord than feeling convinced that they're unforgivable. You get that? There's nothing that'll drive a person further afield from the Lord and into terrible decisions than thinking that they are unforgivable. So with that, we point to Jesus. We remember that verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far through Jesus, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. God's love really is unconditional. For you mothers, this thing called mothering, it's full of joy, full of risks. The thing to keep in mind is that the risks are well calculated. You see, your Heavenly Father, He's calculated the risks for you already. Verse 13, just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. That compassion from the Lord, it's not based on how good we're doing in life. The fact is, we fail more often than not compared to God's requirements. And yet God showers compassion on His children because, verse 14, He Himself is mindful. He knows our frame. He's mindful that we're dust. So here it is, moms. God knows your limits. God, get to know your God. God who knows your limits, get to know that God and get to know His unlimited love. His unlimited love through you, and His unlimited love through you to your children. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your unlimited love. Your unlimited love for us, your unconditional love for us. And as mothers who in many ways personify love better than anybody, any of us know, Father, may they be encouraged to recognize that your great love upon them empowers them, engages them, gives them what they need to convey who you are to their children, gives them the grace to hang on to you when things aren't going as they should. Father, I pray that that'd be a work this morning that you're doing, that this would be a very encouraging day. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of remembering that you have chosen to give us mothers, to bear us in our pre-birth days, and in some ways to bear us all the days of their life while they carry us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the privilege of growing up in a home where you're loved. And I pray, Lord, that would be the echo in our hearts, that we would want to see that our homes where you're loved. In Jesus' name, amen.